So welcome to another edition of Amana Podcast. This is our fifth podcast, and Amana once again is a collective of people, places and things that transcend us. And living through your higher virtues, how do you live through your higher virtues, and what takes you off course with them, and then how do you get back on, or how do you realign with them? And today we have Nathaniel Sharrett, my dear friend, and we're here in Puerto Rico, his new home. So I'm very grateful to be here. And we're just simply going to have a conversation around part of his journey. I met Nathaniel definitely over 20 years ago now. And our friendship and our journey has been a great one, one that I'm personally very, very connected to. We're like family, where we've lived together, worked together. And I'm sure some of our stories will come out in this podcast. So looking forward to sharing. So welcome, Nat.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be on your show. And we've actually lived together a couple different times in different houses.
That's true.
Yeah.
So Nat, let's just kick off, you know, with this idea of virtues, or some people may think of values. But if you think either... And I would imagine for yourself, these can be interwoven personally and professionally. But when you think about what would be a virtue that you like to look towards, live towards, that kind of helps you, guide you, and having a better life, if you will?
Well, I mean, I suppose to start with, it depends on how you define virtue. I mean, I think in terms of a moralistic standpoint, I don't really relate to that, but in terms of the goodness or the good quality or the good direction that leads to greater goodness in one's life, I relate to virtue more in that way. Mm-hmm. And to me, the only virtue, ultimately, if you were to take it out and take what is the source of all goodness, that would be what you could call God or the spirit or this unconditioned energy unit that makes us live and breathe that we call life, what we call the soul. So that would be what I consider the virtue that I am working or relaxing these days here in Puerto Rico to be more in tune and in touch with in my life. Is that divine essence within?
Nice. And one of the things I like to capture in these podcasts is the here and now, rather than antidotes of what you've done in the past and how you've overcome things. I like kind of the what's going on for you in the present. And you mentioned relaxation. I mentioned, you know, you being here now in Puerto Rico. Talk to me about how this move is impacting that virtue, or how you're dealing with it, or how it's dealing you, or what it's dealing you. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I think that I said it to you, Mark, that being here, I've been too busy to work. I've been too busy lounging on the beach in the hammock, and not that I don't work. I do work with clients, and I have my podcast of my own called Transcend with Nat, and I continue to do all of that work, but in a much more relaxed way. And for me, I think because my life, I've never really had this opportunity to just let go and relax and unwind. Really, it's a process of things coming up inside of me as I relax. It's like unwinding, and it's like these things that that I haven't had time to really allow to let go of are now coming forward as I learn to really relax more. And this island, definitely the island lifestyle, is something I've always had an affinity for and wanted to experience. And now that I'm experiencing it, I'm really enjoying it. And it's very easy to get into that relaxed standpoint. And I think one of the things that has happened recently with what's gone on with the world as we know it in terms of the lockdowns and the time. A lot of people have had time away from work, or they've changed their work, or they changed to doing their work online. It's really allowed for kind of a different look on what the priorities of life are. So I think it's really on purpose what you're talking about here in the podcast, because that's the values that people are getting in touch with. And for me, that's really been what this has been about, is to more fulfill. And it seemed that the flow of my life opened up for this opportunity at this time. And so I took it, and it has a lot of, it's been a lot of experiences that come along with living on an island, and it's been kind of fun.
Yeah, nice. Well, I'm getting to experience it also. I recognize life in general, but certainly through the pandemic, there's holding patterns that we can create, holding tensions for either fears that we may have or just what's going on in society, that I notice I hold it in my body, in my gut, in my weight, that I don't really care for, but it's probably there on purpose at the same time. And just coming here, you know, I think I put a caption on my Facebook page, you know, I'm unwinding and relaxing, but it can be hard work. You know, there's something about letting go that is not necessarily easy. And certainly being in the ocean, the warm water, which I've been so looking forward to, and spending time with you, there's this, and I swim in a swimming pool often when I'm back in Ojai, but just being in the ocean, there's something very healing about it, particularly the warm water. It's very different than California. If I was in the California surf, where it's a little cold and holds that tension still.
Yeah.
Certainly I'm shivering. So that's a really nice attribute of being here. I think the weather has, and the climate with humidity, has this kind of almost sleeper energy that comes with it too, that kind of you just want to check out, and we're drinking coconut water, so
it's hard to do much.
You know, it's hard to I don't know if it's hard, but it seems different to be proactive in a way that I'm used to. But I think it's a really good contrast. I think society, particularly California, we've been having this discussion because we've both lived in California for a long time, although we've traveled a lot and seen a lot of diversity. California, as much as it's still for me one of the most beautiful places on the planet, it has become so financially driven, and the tension of how expensive things are. I'm seeing people really let go of a lot of their virtues or value systems in order to go for the money, if you will. And that's kind of starting to rub me the wrong way, if you will. And I like that there is a place like this that has an emergence, that still has some of the US structures that can afford the modern lifestyle, if you will, and technology and systems and structure, economic structure, but also can provide some life. You know, it's not all about work and making money. So maybe speak to a little bit about your intent, or if there was any purpose behind that for you.
Yeah, to me, I surf, and as I get in the water almost on a daily basis now, I find that very therapeutic. The ocean water, it just does something. I don't know what that is. And I surfed in California, but this is definitely a different experience of that. And it's like living on vacation, honestly. I pinch myself when I'm in the water, just like, it really hasn't settled in. Like, is my life really like living in a vacation? You know, like, because usually I'd go to an island and then I'd have to go back to the reality of the big city. And there's definitely things I miss about it and that I loved about it. But, you know, there's also this other thing that comes in, where there's also the concerns and the things of this world can very much show up here just as much as anywhere else. It is a different environment, and I am new to it and getting used to it. And it does allow for a different set of priorities, where having a good time is a priority here. Mm-hmm. I mean, people want to have a good time, and it's more of a priority than, say, getting more things. And that's definitely a priority that, or career advancement or anything like that. And that's definitely a different set of priorities than, say, living, you know, I lived for over 20 years in LA, and that has a different set of priorities just kind of in the psychic vibe of the place.
Yeah.
But the problem of this world is that, you know, there really is no perfect place because you still are in this world. And I think that's really how it's set up. And, you know, I've known people on all spectrums of the economic, you know, their own personal economic realities, from people who have very little, very, very little, to some of the wealthiest in the world. And, you know, that, like, having things, you know, people think that, and I guess at this point it's a cliche, it's like, oh yeah, we having things isn't going to give you happiness. I mean, it gives you some, you know, it is fun. There is a fun thing about flying around on a private jet or whatever, you know, like that's great. It's fun. But yeah, it doesn't give you necessarily fulfillment, like a lasting fulfillment. It may give you some fun. And also, like, you know, being poor doesn't give you lasting fulfillment either. And this world is just not set up to give lasting fulfillment. So even though, yeah, I live in a paradise and it's really great, I'm really happy to be here, and getting this experience in my life, because it's one of those that I hadn't had, I wanted to have, that, you know, there's still, like, the fulfillment really, that's something that is an internal experience, an internal choice. And to me, you don't get it here. You know, you get it by getting in touch with the inner inside of you. So that's kind of like, it's like a trap to think, oh, if I get to the island now, then, like, in that lifestyle, then all of a sudden I'm going to be fulfilled. It's like, nah, you know, you're still going to go through your stuff. You're still going to have, you know, you might be lonely, you might be whatever, you might have, you know, past hurts, past difficulties come up, and you got to work with that, or your judgments, or whatever it is. You know, it's like, you still bring you with you, and you still bring your issues with you. It's just, for now, it's like, I prefer this environment to work them out in than yeah. LA.
No, that's great. One of the things that puts a hair in my side, or hair in my quiche, if you will, is, you know, what I see on Instagram a lot is this whole grind, like, get up at 5 a.m., work out, have a side hustle, work your main job. You know, it's basically extraction of life to have a life. And growing up in Australia, it's certainly in my era, there was a much more balanced life. We worked to live, you know, and but we played hard, worked hard. It's that culture. Where that's kind of, I see in these capitalist societies, more and more out of balance, at least for me. Some people may love it, and, you know, if you can find that path where you love it and there's some harmony to it, I think it's a cool thing. But one thing I wanted to touch on with you is you lived and worked with our spiritual teacher, John Roger, and we did that together. I did it for a lot less years than you did, but I certainly got to witness and experience his level of devotion to the spiritual side of work, but I got to witness your level of devotion to serve that, and probably a value or virtue that that I honor in you is that devotion, or dharma, if you will. It's like you did whatever it took, and that I always saw great strength in you of that. And it's a quiet strength, because you're not someone who would flaunt it or need to show it off. Or many people have no idea the depths of service that you've lived at. And I do. I've had witness to that, I would say. And I guess this may be a bit of at least reprieve or icing on the top right now for, you know, you having some of these choices in your life. because of that, let's call it sacrifice or surrender at that time. And I don't think it's because of it. It's just it's nice that it's showing up.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if you want to speak about any level of devotion or what that was like for you. But
I think it's kind of like an itch you can't scratch or you need to scratch and keep scratching. Because it really, to me, was interrelated with my purpose, especially for all those years. It was very clear inside of me from early on in early age that, well, I always had this thing about spirituality. And then it just clicked for me with JR, with John Roger. And somehow I ended up, I look at life also like even this, it's like I think a lot and I like my mind is very active and comes up with all sorts of things, whether it's like, you know, things that I'll probably never be, well, who knows, but like involved in, you know, like my mind is very active. Let's put it that way, you know? And I don't know quite how my life has unfolded as it has. Like it, I know that I participate and I do all that, but I'm not exactly sure how this has manifested or that has manifested. Even though I understand the principles of manifestation, it's always like a surprise in a way to me, like when you get there and you're like, oh, wow,
this happened
and not really sure how this happened. But in terms of the devotion, I really look at it as is tied to the purpose. And especially at that time, that really was my purpose. And so, you know, when you have that driving you, it becomes your, you know, for me, it became my life and it became something that it defined me, not necessarily who I am, but it defined for me what was on purpose for me in my life. And yeah, I had, and I still have like a lot of consequences, both positive and difficult. I wouldn't necessarily say negative, but definitely things that make me grow and things that would be challenging for sure from my choices, because it was a very alternative approach to life, and to choose that was to not have other experiences, was to not choose other things. As it is, when you have a purpose and you have, it's a very ruthless consciousness. It's a very dedicated consciousness, and that's where, you know, and mine just happened to be, my purpose happened to be in that service orientation. And I still look at my life very much as a service orientation, in terms of serving what is for the highest good, serving the God that is in each person. And just, you know, every morning I have, well, most mornings, sometimes I miss it, but I have a routine, and part of that is reaffirming like my intentions, and that serving is a key part of my purpose, you know, serving God in each person. And that's really where I like to come from in my work with others, in my coaching, and just in life in general. You know, one of the things when you're a giver like that, when you are in the service, is to finding the balance of where you start to make the choices that are in line for you, because you can go overboard as well with that, but that's not lasting. So if you're out of balance in what you're giving, eventually you run out, and so. You need to have that. To me, that's at least my experience, is you can burn out. You need to have that balance where you're also, in order to really truly give, you also have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself first. And you know, that's a core teaching that John Roger taught us and a lot of people, is, you know, take care of yourself so you can take care of others, is how he said it, and that's really been affirmed by my experience in life.
I do definitely like to keep things current in these podcasts, but I will do a little history here. And I'm curious to know, just with your time with JR, which is short for John Roger, for those new to the name.
And the name, the myth, the legend,
yeah,
the controversy.
The master of the controversy, all of it. And, you know, we got to live behind the curtain, so, which is what I call it, which I'm so grateful for, because, you know, we have our own truth. But what would be some highlights that come to mind at this time of living with him that just kind of show up in your consciousness and you go, wow, that was just something that that may hold light for you into the future, or it was a moment that was transcendent for you that you went, whoa, this is something.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of memories that can come up, and there's a lot of extraordinary experiences being around him. That's really not what stands out for me. Mm-hmm. The thing that like really pops into my head is maybe a month before he passed away, we were in Israel for his 80th birthday celebration. And we were staying, I don't know what the hotel was. It's either like the David Citadel or the King David, or it's
King
one
David,
of
the one next to
is
the
that
old
the
city?
One? Okay, yeah. And so he had a balcony in his room that overlooked the old walls,
yeah, it's
of the
beautiful
city. And if you haven't been to Israel and Palestine and all those, like that whole area, like there's something about it that is unique to this world. And just sitting there, and me and him, there was a few days before, like all the people and the events and all that kind of stuff. And it was just me and him for some of that. And we were sitting on the balcony, just like as the sun sets going down and the walls of the old city. And we were sitting in silence, but I mean, for the most part. But there was just like this quality of togetherness and oneness of, at that point, I think 17 years of being together and working and traveling and ups and downs and, you know, all of the stuff that goes with that. And it was just so peaceful and so fulfilling and just such a touching moment for me personally to be sitting there with him and just watching the sun go down at the old city, you know, by the old city walls. And yeah, so that really is like what stands out. I don't know if there's any like lesson in that or anything, mm-hmm. or anything for the listeners, but that's really like, to me, something that is precious in my heart. And then a lot of, you know, there's a lot of his teachings are in the inner realms. And so there's this awakening to other levels of consciousness. And so a lot of a lot of experiences that I would have that I would say like were meaningful were actually on these inner levels of consciousness, or him showing me that. And then there was plenty of life experiences that were just like, you know, when you're that close to someone that long and you have, you know, great respect for each other, it's just in love. There's just so much. It's a lifetime, and it just kind of all adds up.
It's one of JR's quotes that I was thinking of as you're talking about that, as he would say, "Peace, be still." You know, you know, he created a whole ranch, an institution, the Institute for Individual and World Peace, that has done some great work over the years in coordination with other entities such as the UN, but that's kind of always sat at the core of it for me. And there's, when peace is present, you know, it's just, there's a stillness that's just really beautiful, that's just at ease, which, you know, can show up on a tropical island or in Israel or wherever you are, but it's always available. You know, so the other thing that's coming to mind too, which is more recent for both of us and may tickle some emotion on the sadness and the happiness, but you know, we certainly share, being on what's called JR's staff, There's bonds that we naturally share because, you know, we live together, work together. There's just that a bonding that takes place and an understanding. And one of our dear friends just passed away all of a sudden, if you will. His name's Eric Albrecht, and we were very close to him and bonded to him in a way. So I wonder if you're willing to even touch on that and how that's moved you or shifted you or opened you or reflected upon. Maybe there's something in there for you on that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, death is one of the great movers of internal consciousness, of our positions, of our priorities. And so for me, I mean, his death was shocking to start with, and I'm still processing it very much so. And, you know, just this, he was young and full of life and with, you know, wife and young kid, and really, really had gotten to another level of like kind of living his life from my experience of that. And, I mean, it was so on purpose in a way to me, because it, just how all the things led up to his passing, it couldn't have been more perfect if that's what was going to happen. I mean, it could have been, I would have preferred a different outcome. But given that if his death at that time was the outcome, you know, there was just so many things that happened leading up to that, including the pandemic and me getting closer to him, and a couple breakups that also we got closer because he got to listen to me whine about that. And also, you know, hang out with him and Kelly and Zane a lot. And then me moving here right beforehand, and that we did things, we got together, all of us got together and golfed and was in Mark's backyard, the new place to go and have an experience of the pit fire cooking. Those of you on this podcast, if you get a chance to go to Mark's house, definitely go, because he'll cook for you pretty great food. Very great food on this grill. I'm trying to convince him to come to Puerto Rico and bring the grill with him so that, you know, I have a chef, my own chef. I mean, death is like one of those things that, to me, like, grief just sucks and you just go through it. And like, it's just one of those things that, like, you don't really control it. You just kind of like go through it. You talk about the person, you or not. Everyone deals with it differently. But eventually my experience of grief is that it does subside or change. You know, some people it's like it comes and goes, but life does go on. You can have happiness and joy at some point. And so, yeah, that's been an experience, having him die so unexpectedly, you know, just keel over and go. And there was others around the same time, that, you know, in my life I had been close to that passed really suddenly as well. So it was kind of this barrage of death, and none of them died from COVID, which is the interesting part. You know, but like it just goes to show, like, this world is not a safe place. It's not a safe place from death. Like, it is a safe place. I don't want to like put out the message it's a dangerous place. It's just you're going to die. Like, everyone on this planet, we're all gonna die. So like you gotta get comfortable with that. And I think that I think it's really healthy for there to be more reflection on death and discussion of it in a healthy way. And humor to me is like, I mean, we still joke about Eric, you know, because he was a funny guy.
Truly.
And not, I mean, and sometimes the funniness was of his like
mind,
his mind and his humor. But oftentimes he wasn't trying to be funny. We were just laughing at him. And we still do. And he does, he's not here to defend himself, you know? And so
he would end up laughing also.
And he would, of course. I mean, he was like one of those really fun individuals who had a great time and would definitely enjoy laughing at himself. Yeah, so that's what I have on Eric.
Well, and the other part of this is, you know, the work of John Roger is really soul transcendence, which is to transcend the soul back into that from which it came, which we may term as God. You know, the greatest experience I know in this life is what I would consider unconditional loving, you know, and that usually shows up. It showed up in my early life with my grandmother and my mother and my parents and family, and that's where it often shows up for a lot of people. And then if you can be around a community of people that have that kind of consciousness, it really becomes strong. It's never perfect, but what is perfection? That's, you know, I think, you know, we lived under a direction of excellence, which we're always working towards doing better and better. And part of this podcast, you know, the term of a collective of people, places, things, actions that transcend us is to transcend these negative things, not to be bound by them. You know, my father wrote a book called Breaking Patterns. And as a psychotherapist, you know, he's looking at how people can break free from the patterns that bind us to things that keep us stuck or contracted or not freer, you know, so I guess freedom and liberation is something that I experienced a lot with JR in his consciousness. To be around him felt very liberated. At times I felt confined, but it was probably my own confinement, and the discipline and the devotion that it took to be in that liberated state. In some ways, it's kind of has I'm trying to think of what's the symbol, infinity symbol with it. You know, it's like this constant movement through the infinities of it. The other person I wanted to bring forward too is our companion Zeus, who, you know, I think JR gave him the title at some point, Chief of Staff. So he liked to boss us around or tried to and do it through his Cuban Latin domineering ways. But Zeus is, you know, another person who I just give so much honor to in terms of devotion and being there for JR. And his life now is really traveling around doing a lot of those, you know, sharing JR's teachings. But I wanted to touch into some of your perhaps relationship with him, and maybe just something, let's stick with the value system here in virtue, something that you would admire in Zeus. Or care to share about Zeus?
Yeah, I mean, well, so Zeus was, yeah, he was chief of staff for some of that time. And
he would get fired every now and then, yeah, which was kind of cool.
He'd get fired, which we all laughed and snickered at when he would. And yeah, he definitely wanted you to remember he was chief of staff.
We'll get him a badge. Still chief of staff.
We should get him a hat, yeah. A t-shirt maybe. But yeah, I mean, to me, the willingness to the freedom that I had experienced with him at different times, and the devotion and dedication. But, you know, like he would do things that I just wouldn't do because I'm a little bit more rigid, I think. Although I would say that, like, I've definitely, all those years have made me much more free in my consciousness. So it's like, and that's the thing, is like, as you change in your consciousness into the greater freedom, the outer freedom comes naturally, and not that we don't all have our stuff. But I mean, to me, I would say that, like, if we're keeping it to the now, you know, I really do honor the level of just endurance and kind of holding the torch and just keeping going with what his heart, you know, like what's with what's in his heart. And to me, that's an example for all of us to do, is to like really touch into what's true to our heart and go in that direction.
Yeah. And then the other person to bring forward, I get, of course, would be John Morton. And John Morton, although we didn't live with John in JR's house at the time, but John lived with JR for a long time. He's the one who's now holding the mantle of what's called the mystical traveler consciousness that JR held as a spiritual mantle. And but you and I have talked about this, I think, just on this trip. You know, JR had this magnetic light that was very infectious, and that I certainly was drawn to and chased and went after. It gave me great hope, and I look out into the world these days and I don't see a lot of that for myself and in the way that I had before. And now it's more of an inward, how do I find it within? But having the reference point of yourself and the guys that have been close and just other people who have been on this journey with us, and I've seen it. You can see it in other people when you meet them. I met someone recently, or saw someone recently. His name was Gunnar Lovelace, who created Thrive Market, and he's creating a crypto called Good Money. And I'd never met him before. He just had something very shiny about him, something very unique, and I could see that his intention was good. And when you find those people that you can be inspired by or reflects back the inspiration that's sitting inside of you, I think it's a really nice day, and you certainly do that for me. It's nice to be here with you on that plane. And it's not to say that, you know, that's not everywhere and everyone has that diamond inside. It's real, but some you recognize in a different light. So my prayer for you, my friend, is that this continues to unravel you, unwind you in such a way that your beauty comes forward and your service comes forward for yourself first, and then those that you get to interact with. I find you hold a purity in that is very rare in this world, and I honor it very, very much. And hold it sacred, you know, and protect it, because it's one of those things that I find rare. You know? So I don't know if there's any other thing that you would want to add to this podcast at this time, but they're my questions for you.
Well, I mean, you brought up Johnny, and I don't know Gunnar, but I do know Johnny. John's a very good friend. He's the kind of friend that you would want to have.
Yeah.
He's been there for me through thick and thin, and has really just demonstrated what it is to be a good friend. And so for that, I'm very grateful to consider him among my friends and my close friends.
Yeah, he's family.
Yeah, he's family. And, you know, I mean, the thing that I would say that, you know, if I just reflect on the world when you're bringing up John and Gunnar and, you know, that there seems to be an idea that's become more prevalent in our society, at least that I've seen, where we look at people, men and women, who have done great things, and then we look and start picking apart their personality. Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you, I've met plenty of what you might call movers and shakers and whatever you want to call them, like people of
influence.
I've met plenty of people of influence, and you know, personalities are trash, and some people have fun ones and mm-hmm. some people don't. And you know, I really, you know, people who are looking for perfection in personalities, it's like, good luck. You know, you're always going to have that polarity in a sense. It's like whatever greatness or goodness that someone brings forward, there's always that other polarity. In order to be alive and in a physical body, you are going to be human. You're going to have these quirks of the personality of the things we picked up along the way. And to really like slam people down for that, I don't think is a healthy practice in a society. and in our personal lives either. Mm. You know, there having compassion, that's great. That doesn't mean we need to like tolerate certain behaviors. You know, we can go, look, you know, that's not what we're going to take part in. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, and if it's hurtful of others, you know, it's you generally illegal. And it's like, well, you know, you, there's consequences when you do those things sometimes. But, you know, but in terms of like personalities, you know, I really just encourage people to have the compassion that, you know, if you really knew what's going on with people and even those people you've considered heroes, you know, it's good to get disillusioned.
Yeah.
It's great because it means like, oh yeah, they're human too. But it also, it gets rid of your excuses of going, you know, well, I'm not great or I'm not worthy or whatever. And it's like, well, neither are they.
Right.
If you want to, if you're looking at the level that's not worthy, that's not like, that's not full in the fullness of who they are, which we call the soul. But if they're not living in that fullness and, you know, you're dealing with personality, which isn't, then, you know, that if that's what you're looking at, you're missing the whole point. And so to me, I don't know, when you just brought up these people, like even people I don't know and they have good intentions, they're doing good things from what you said. And, you know, I don't know much about that except for what you've told me, but it's like, you know, you look at the good and focus on the good and support the good and the other stuff. It's like, yeah, the personalities, you know, we all have one and that's what we've got and that's what we're working with. And it's pretty amazing that in spite of our personalities and our upbringings and our cultural BS that we're able to actually do and bring forward these things that are uplifting and positive for people. And so to me, and I think that that's a lot of what, at least from what I've heard you share about the Amarna group and the culture, the lifestyle that you're talking about here, that it is more in that vein of really supporting the goodness of what people are bringing forward in their lives, and what then that creativity that they're of the goodness within them that they're bringing out into the world.
Yeah, no, thanks for saying that. I think it's certainly my intent to do that. It's to share the good. It's to transcend that wouldn't be of your higher nature or the things that would keep us stuck in some type of pain or suffering that's not necessary, unless, of course, it is. And that usually pain is, or fear is the teacher. You know, so how do we use the, let's call it the lower nature or the learnings or the challenges to uplift us into these spaces. And I have a very similar experience. You know, there's the age old expression, you know, don't meet your heroes, yeah. You know, cause they'll disillusion you. And part of my reasoning for wanting to live with JR, cause I found the teaching so profound, but I wanted to know, is this guy the real deal? How did he get out of bed? How did he brush his hair out? How did he put his clothes on? Like, it was the whole, I wanted to know, is this guy really living his truth? You know, and what I found is I'd never seen anyone live their truth as much as he has. And he had all the challenges to come with it, you know, and he worked his butt off. If you asked him, what is he doing? He would tell you, I'm working on my bad habits.
Yeah.
You know, and letting them go. And I think we often find ourselves in the jailers. I call them the jailers, which is judgment, comparison. Mm-hmm. Righteousness, you know, these things that polarize us rather than unite us or transcend us. So thanks again for sharing this podcast, Nat. You know, maybe there's more to come. Who knows? This is a journey for me of just opening myself up to share some of the things that I've explored and people that I've met along my travels. And I'm so glad that you're a part of that.
Yeah, it's been a great journey, Mark. I love you a lot, and I'm grateful to be able to call you my friend. So
thanks, Nat.
Thank you.
Cheers.